Another week, no celebrity death, so this week should be much more light-hearted.
Excuse me?
Oh, has there been another?
Del Boy.
Del Boy?
Del Boy, nah, Marlene.
Del Boy and Marlene have died?
No, Boise died.
Boise.
Boise, Idaho.
Joyce.
Where my mum was
jealous.
Born. I don't fucking care.
I mean, that hasn't affected me.
That's the thing. When you're a comedian, comedic actors die, and they're like, oh, well, I just think, he didn't create content or write.
It's not the same to me.
It's not the same, is it?
I don't feel as upset about him dying as I do about Norm dying, that's for sure.
I love Norm's family. I feel that sort of level of upset. But
yeah,
when like Rick Mayall died, I was sort of like going, he was just like a gurning. I don't disparage or speaking of the dead, but that talentless gurning rubber faced cartoon twat that appealed to 12-year-olds. I didn't feel anything. You know,
I don't want to speak ill of the dead or anything. I don't agree with that.
Well, you would say that because you're such a fucking soft cock.
No, I liked it. I liked him. I did. I liked him in Man Down more than anything that I'd ever seen him in, probably.
Did he write it?
No, he was in it. Yeah, with Greg Davis.
Yeah.
So here's the thing I've been thinking this week. Straight in early.
Go.
Why is there another word for kneeling? Like, why doesn't kneel? Like, if you were talking to a doctor and he'd say, oh, he's got a problem when he genuflexes.
Genuflex. Is genuflex, does that actually mean kneeling? Or does that mean
like bending of the knee, so squatting?
Yeah, but I think that's more of a, isn't that more, I don't know.
Genuflex.
I should go to school with a girl called Genuflex. She's always sucking cock.
Why? God almighty, you're a professional comedian sometimes.
She's kneeling down.
But why is it? Why do we need that word?
Does not genuflect? Okay, so does that not mean kneeling could mean I had to kneel down?
I think it's bending the leg. It is like you.
Yeah, but does it mean more like... Does it mean
your
more,
toes to the ground?
Okay, but does genuflect mean more to sort of like kowtow to someone? Like you could say... Oh, I got down on my knees to fix the sink. Is a bit
no.
It doesn't mean sort of like morally or not morally. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it is more.
You think
it is more bending the knee, not bending the knee, but actually bending the knees to genuflex the knee.
So you want to know why? But then we've got more. How many words have we got for cock? Why do we need posh words?
Why do we need posh words?
How would snob or scum work? They need their own language to set them apart from us. Or other way round. If you think about it, and I think about this often, if you don't say the Latin for something, you're using the nickname.
That's true.
Like if you talk about a chaffinch or a frog or a kingfisher, that's like, oh, that's just a nickname.
Yeah, that's actually true. What a load of rubbish.
What a load of old... bilious
Symtreptium.
Yeah. I'm down in the dumps. I don't mind who knows it.
Way down in the dumps, me old sport.
Oh, I'm just having a bit of problems with the old,
the old life chain. Oh.
No, life, mate.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's hard to get a mortgage. It's hard getting a mortgage when you're self-employed during a coming off the arse end of a global pandemic, let's put it that way.
Bloody right it is, mate. I've got a guy for you, though, haven't I?
Yeah, I know, but I can't set a fire to him until November the 5th.
I don't know what you just said. That sounded like great.
Doesn't matter.
What was that?
Yeah, doesn't matter, does it?
Isn't it weird? I honestly think, how the fuck did I cope on my own? I got a mortgage when I was like 20, early 20, very early 20s. How did I pay the bills? I have no idea how I was responsible.
This is the opposite. I'm paying more rent than I would do mortgage.
Oh, no. I don't mean that. I mean, just organising.
I know. You are.
Yeah, that's the problem. That is the problem with all of that stuff is, yeah, you pay more to rent somewhere than you do on a mortgage. And you're worse off financially because you're chucking it into a pit.
Yeah.
I've got no justification for it. It's awful. It's an awful position to be in.
It's awful when they just say no. Yeah. That's probably the worst moment.
But if you just tried harder in your marriage, you wouldn't be in this position.
Well,
that's where we are, isn't it? That's the problem. Yeah.
No, no problem. You could say.
I would never, ever, ever get divorced.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
No, never. No,
not again, not again.
Yeah.
You don't get divorced twice. Third wife is weird, do you think?
Yeah.
You don't have a third wife, do you? What does that say about a person when they go, oh, this is my... Someone would introduce their partner as their third wife, would they?
No, oh, this is my third wife. Oh, just yeah. Wife will do.
Yeah. But oh, if you speak to someone, you know, meet them on holiday, you know, you're sort of having that little chat around the pool, and then they go, oh, you know, I've been married twice before. I'd be like, oh, I've got to go. I don't know. It's just, sec two's all right, but three seems weird.
I think it's perfectly acceptable. Can I just say that on record at this stage? So also this weekend,
what's perfectly acceptable?
Hold on. Moving on from that, going to my father-in-law's wedding on the weekend.
He's running out of best men.
I'm certainly not best.
No, man. He's running out of best men because he's obviously had more than one wedding. Is that what you're saying?
I would think he might have been married before to my mother-in-law. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then two.
And another lady, yeah.
So three. So yeah. This is the thing. Like, in his five-a-side football team, he's now got the goalkeeper as his best man. That's how many times he's been married.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. So I've been thinking about... existence.
Oh, mate.
I know. And something dawned on me because I've come under a little bit of, not, I wouldn't say attack, I wouldn't say scrutiny. I said these comments have been made in the Discord about me having parallel thoughts to Norm MacDonald about spirituality. And I don't agree with that. Now, I've been thinking a lot lately about this whole thing that now scientists say we're more likely to be in a simulation than we're not.
Mm. You know who says it the most, though?
Who?
Other than scientists, you.
Yeah, because it interests me. Do you know why it interests me?
Mm.
Because 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, 50 years ago, there was no such thing as a simulation.
No.
So now, because we can create simulations, we think this could be a simulation. It's strange that simulation is a new thing. And now we think that... we used to create life... Well, we still can create life by fucking a baby up a cunt, can't we? We can do that.
Yeah.
And then it comes out. And then we go, well, that must be how you create anything. That's how we create. But now we... And then you think, like, we could make plays and literature and fiction. And then Shakespeare said all the world's a stage and the people merely play us. And then we thought, well, that might be another way that things could be created. But now, because we can make simulations, we think this is a simulation because that's a new form of creativity that we now understand. But do you think that is what the eternity and the infinity of the cycle is? That these cells develop, get more intelligent, get so intelligent they can create a simulation. Well, then things become digital. Then that digital world then goes back on itself and then starts to create. Do you know what I mean?
So do you think they're looking at it from the outside in theory going, oh my God, look at them. They're working out what's happening.
No. What if we create, we get to an apex where we as a species create this simulation.
Don't they then just turn it off? Isn't that what happens in this?
Well, world? No, this is the thing though, the Big Bang. This is why I sort of think I veer towards simulation. Nothing to do with the day-to-day existence and how things run. But the Big Bang makes no sense. And if you think about it, if you sat there and got a circuit board and you soldered it all together and you put this in there and you put that resistor into that transmitter and that and that, and then you press it on, that's the Big Bang. Like nothing existed before it in terms of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, in your universe, that's the thing. There is no answer to what, like you said, there's no answer.
I know
answer
there's no
to...
answer, which is why it's the imponderables are the best.
No, what I mean is
pond.
There's no answer. If you say what was there before, well, nothing. We can't.
Well, nothing
we don't
because
know.
Time, that's what they, this is what I
but
get.
There was
didn't
the computer
exist
program.
Before the Big Bang.
Yeah.
If time didn't exist before the Big Bang, it's like saying what happened, you know, like the only, it is like, creating a robot, right? The person that soldiers a robot's brain together and then turns it on, that is the big bang in that robot's consciousness. Yeah. Not a parent. Yes.
No lineage.
So I've been thinking about that and thinking, well, is that how it goes? Do we create the simulation that then sort of goes back to the beginning? Is that how infinity works? Like a big loop? I don't know. What do you think?
I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I do as well.
I mean, I don't know. It's bizarre because I've been listening to a lot of stuff about the universe. It's really, really strange with what's happening recently, because something's going on where we talk about something on here and then I listen to or read a book and that same thing is covered in that book. It's been going on for about half a year now and it's mad. So after you spoke about all of this stuff a few weeks ago, I listened to Bill Bryson's History of Everything, and it was basically like just your theories. And the funny thing is, it was talking about some of the theories that were posted, like these theories that you say, were first sort of brought up in Victorian times, right? Mm. Versions of them.
Mm.
And a lot of the stuff, people were being laughed out of, you know, those were...
Well, Darwin was, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he was, yeah.
They said to him, when he said, I think we're just... When they said in Parliament, if Charles Darwin thinks he's descended from apes, is that on his mother or his father's side?
Yeah, I mean, he was ridiculed. And also, they took offence to it, is the funny thing. They literally were like...
Yeah, of course they did, because if you were Christian, you know, back then, and I guess religious people now think that human beings are sacred, and to be compared to a primate or has come from primates, so they see it as very, very insulting.
Yeah, but isn't that strange that then... But it seems so often that someone put something forward, died before they realised they were absolutely bang on. Like, throughout history, hundreds and hundreds of people that have gone, what about if it's this? And then people are like, oh, yeah.
Do you find it strange or interesting that Einstein, like, people will still talk about the things he said and he was wrong, but you know, he's wrong about loads of stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But when it's disproven of things, I think that people sort of like don't talk about it as much.
But do you know that there was stuff that he was wrong about?
The cult of Einstein.
He was proven wrong about things in his own lifetime and would just ignore them. Like, he got big things right. He got really, really big things right, obviously. But they were talking in this book about how he would have stuff disproven. Is that a word?
Yeah,
just proven on, like, and he'd just go, no.
I've got very little respect for, okay, not little respect. So when our scientists look at the world, they analyze the world, and physicists, I think they sort of like look, I mean, it is, I get what they're doing, and they go like, oh, right, the world works in this way, as in like heat transfers this. I've got very little sort of like, not respect, but I don't get much of a sort of, that doesn't impress me or doesn't really like move me like an artist going, like someone who might say something flouncy and poetic that I'll remember forever. Mm. But just as people working out the ins and outs of the sort of physical realm, I sort of think, so what? You just, I don't know. It's a bit sort of
the problem was what they were up against a lot of the time. I think that's the problem. It was like you could be like hung, killed, burnt at the stake for saying stuff like, oh, the earth isn't the center of the universe.
Yeah, Copernicus was the first one that said, you know, it was him. And it was like, it was heresy.
I do think it's mad that imagine sitting there and going, oh, I think it's all wrong. I think they've absolutely got it all wrong.
Look at the common thread here. This just occurred to me. Darwin saying that man isn't divine, created from God, is a bit similar to Copernicus saying, do you know what? The earth isn't the center of the universe. So basically, heresy is not going along with the narcissistic belief that human beings are this special, sacred, exalted creature. Mm. And anyone that sort of ever veered from that historically was shouted down as a heretic and probably, you know, fucking ostracized and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, but like, so human beings are not only hypocrites, to be a narcissist is to be human, right? I mean, we're all narcissists, aren't we?
Yeah, well, yeah.
How has that become a negative term?
Yeah, we have to be, don't we? It's bizarre to not be.
Well, I think that but who isn't a narcissist? You'd say an altruist. But I would say altruism can't exist. Yeah, you can't
because you're still otherwise...
Because you understand that altruism is a sort of like, is a... you know, if one understands altruism is inherently good, one cannot be altruistic because they are doing it to feed their narcissistic, self-serving image of themselves as being a good person. So if a narcissist wants to put themselves on a pedestal... And the only way to, and
you I guess can put you yourself, could, but you'd have to be completely disconnected.
You'd have to not know what narcissism. Yeah, you'd sorry, have to be altruism meant. You'd have to not know what altruism meant.
You'd have to be like literally separate. Like you could be an altruistic person and live in the Outer Hebrides and have no.
Well, what's it? Well, that's the thing. We put words on altruism like heroic. So even when we was a kid, there was always talk about things that you used to see when you was a kid, like quicksand. There was always that scene where a grenade would come through the window and a dude would dive on it to save his platoon.
So I guess that is because he didn't have time to think, oh, this will make
No, I'd say that's narcissism.
Why?
I want my memory, my legacy.
I don't think you've got that time. I think it's got to be a thought process, isn't there?
No, but what goes into the instinct, Ash? What causes the instinct?
Protect my friends, protect my comrades.
I think if it was your family, I'd say it was altruism, but I think...
I think they're bred into them. To believe.
No, I think they're so brainwashed and bred into them. I don't even know if that's a thing. You know, that kind of like smothering a grenade. But say it was a thing. I think.
What about that guy at the comedy club that said he'd had to shoot his friend because he'd trodden a landmine?
Oh, my God. I forgot all about that. Wasn't that... Can we just get into that now? He's long gone, isn't he?
I feel like we've spoken about it not that long ago, but I still think it bears repeating. There was a guy who ran comedy clubs, but they didn't.
And he hadn't been in the army.
He basically
was a fucking fantasist bullshitter.
These weren't even real comedy clubs. He got the Hungry Horse.
They were Hungry Horse. Yeah.
Hungry Horse pubs. And he basically had contacted them and said, I'll put comedy in every one of your Hungry Horse pubs, regardless of whether they could take.
His name was Dean something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't think of what his surname was.
No, I can't. And I would say because he's long gone, but he was a fucking con man.
But yeah, you Googled his name, it came up live at the Apollo.
Afterwards. Yeah, he told that he used to have he had a recorded intro that he would play before he walked on from behind the fruit machine. Yeah, as seen on live at the Apollo.
And there was a big banner he had made that said it.
I can't remember what his comedy night was called, yeah. But anyway.
So and also, like, it paid very little to do the gig because he was pocketing the money, I imagine.
Yeah. He was the Inky Jones of, like,
yeah,
you know, chain pubs. Inky Jones is a famous London promoter that used to
charge 40 quid a ticket for an open mic acts for 40, tourists.
40 quid a ticket. Used to hire aggressive flyers or barkers even to a tourist trap to get them in, and he would have 5 open mic acts on dying on their arse in the basement of a Thistle Hotel in Piccadilly.
Yeah, for years, and they're getting such tourists that they had their suitcases with them still.
I thought I heard one where they were sitting on their suitcases because they had no chairs that week. But so this guy said, I was a Marine or what was he, a fucking whatever he said he was.
Yeah.
A para.
They used to do comedy nights for the troops. That's what I was going to say.
It was like a charity for the Help for Heroes, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he'd be like, oh, we've raised X amount of money for it. Did you?
Yeah, I don't think you did. And he, goes, I've seen some horrible things out in Afghanistan. One of my mates trod in a landmine, and he stood, and it clicked. And it was like something out of a film that his mate stood on the landmine, but hadn't lifted his foot up, so it hadn't blown up yet. And he had to tiptoe over to him, take a note off him for his wife.
He says in my top pocket. In my top pocket.
Yeah, it was already written. It's in my top pocket. And then this thing took like 10 steps back and blew his brains out with a fucking M16 assault rifle. Only thing to do.
I'm just looking at his profile on Facebook now as we speak. He has. Yeah. I don't think he's gigged since 2016.
That's what I'm saying. He's long gone. Fucking.
But
I turned up. I did a gig for him. I did one.
Yeah,
I heard all about
him. Did you drive him?
No, God, no. And he turned up and I did my set and he goes, I love you. Me and you are going to be good mates. I can tell me and you are going to have a good relationship.
Yeah, you're quite similar, actually,
aren't you? I said, I don't think so, mate.
Did you say, I don't think
so? Yeah, I did. I said, I don't think so. He was like doing all Madeleine McCann stuff, wasn't he? And not his joke.
Yeah,
Frankie Boyle's Madeleine McCann material.
What about that time we're at a gig and you saw that guy doing your bit of material? And then you just poked your head and you went, did he just do my bit? And I was like, I don't know, I didn't hear. And then the bloke come off and went, I think I might have just accidentally done one of your bits.
I've had worse than that. When I went and did a bit and the bloke before me done my bit.
Yeah, and then the audience didn't respond.
Yeah, they didn't laugh. And I went, that's normally my biggest laugh.
Yeah.
And I come off and he went, another fucking, he was ex-military, I think. He goes, oh, I think what happened is I've heard one of your jokes and thought I wrote it, so I just did it.
I think he might still be going, that guy.
Do you think?
Not that guy. No.
Scouser. No.
He's not going. Yeah, the other guy.
I don't know.
There's another guy recently who's been doing a bit of yours, isn't there?
I've had it a lot, mate. I don't know. I've actually been, I think I'm quite stolen from.
Yeah, I think you've had big chunks stolen. But what about the person who stole one of my bits? And so then constantly I'd get phone calls and texts from people going, do you know so-and-so's doing a bit? Okay, yeah, I do know.
Do you know, he spoke to me and said, I think I'd do it because he knew that we do, you know, we're friends. I'm going to go that
far. Oh, mate.
I know. It's a big day.
Thank you.
He goes, I've got a bit that's quite similar to Ash's. And I went, stop doing it then. He went, well, no, because it works.
Dean's doing a gig on October 16th at Three Blackbirds in Boxmoor, by the way, if you're interested.
I think you have to bleep his name out now. Then, yeah. Isn't that weird? If he wasn't going, I wouldn't give a fuck. But
lots of laugh, plenty of banter.
He might book us.
Anyway, yeah, so he told you that I think I'm doing a bit of Ash's material.
Yeah. And I said, just do it harder. And he said, I can't, this is as hard as it gets.
That's fair.
Is that the bit of material?
Yeah, I think it could be something along that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good bit, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's a really lovely bit, actually.
Do you still do it?
I do it, but I don't do it in that part of the routine anymore. I've been doing this a lot more recently. I've been breaking up old routines.
Yeah, so it feels like you're writing when you're not. I know.
Yeah.
I've done that as well. Yeah, it's like sweeping stuff under the carpet. You feel like you're tidying up, but you're not. I'll say this in the opposite order, and yeah, I'm being creative. I'm so lazy.
I am doing a few new bits that have got old punchlines in that are just gone, that I haven't done for years. There's a bit about flicking your pants up and catching it that I've been doing recently. Very dexterous feet. God, how do you remember all my bits?
I remember everyone's bits. That's why I don't believe. I've spoke to a high profile comedian and he's done my stuff on the radio. He's gone on to do telly and big tours. And I'm actually doing building work at the moment. And I'll be listening to the radio and he's advertising his tour on the radio.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying. And I didn't know you couldn't confront people back then. I messaged him and said, mate, I need to talk to you. And he ignored me. I said, look, don't fucking ignore me. I've still got all this on my Facebook Messenger. And I said, you stole my bit. And he went, oh my God. No, I thought it was familiar. And I would never steal a bit. I told all my friends, I said, has anyone heard this? And nobody knew. And I thought, don't give me that. If you hear someone do a joke or a bit you love, you never, ever, ever, ever forget who said it.
He also didn't compliment you on the bit afterwards.
Yeah, he came up to me after the gig and said, I love that bit. That was really funny as he left.
Yeah, I'm having
it. I went, thanks, man. And then, like, 3 months later, he's doing it on the fucking BBC radio.
There's no wonder you're broken. You've been hurt, mate. You've been hurt.
Part of me wouldn't have it any other way, mate. It's the altruist in me.
I guess that's true.
I mean, I feel like I've dived on that grenade. I would dive on the grenade. You wouldn't, would you?
Yeah, I definitely would, but I'd only be doing it for people going, what a great guy I was.
Well, I think that's why, that's what, but there was it Napoleon that said, man will fight long and hard for a piece of coloured ribbon. Yeah. Think about that.
I do think about it.
Think what, about a medal. Think when blokes like come, you know, go, oh, I got the Victoria, you know, the Victoria Cross or the Purple Heart or the fucking, was it so?
Yeah.
Doesn't well, really I, mean imagine anything.
Doing something
it?
That someone told you to do. I always find that like people telling you to go over the top in the trenches.
Well, that's what I was saying. Sorry, we've got a sidetrack. I think that people are so indoctrinated and brainwashed when they're in the military machine that if a grenade comes through the window, everyone wants to dive on it because they've been trained, brainwashed to do it.
Yeah. So, that's not
altruism, is it? That's following orders. That can't be. If you're doing something for a reason to be heroic or because it's, you know, to be a good soldier, then that has got its own inherent reward system. That's not, can't be altruistic.
It's just an awful situation, isn't it?
Yeah, why do people throw grenades through windows? Let's just stop. Let's just stop all that.
Stop that, and then you stop everything else, didn't you?
And there's always in films when they was in that situation, they'd smash the glass with the barrel of the gun, then shoot through it. And I was like, what? The first one's free. They probably can't see you through the glass. Well, you shoot a bullet through the glass at a person.
Yeah.
It's almost like, psh, I've announced my position. Now I'm going to shoot through the window.
Totally agree.
No one knows what I'm talking about. We're old. They don't do that in things anymore, do they?
I always thought they broke a lot of glass. Imagine trying to do that double glazing nowadays. No
chance. That's a good point, isn't it? You need a battering ram.
What happened to single glazed windows? They were a death trap as well, weren't they? I remember being at school and like some kid.
Oh, you go for a window. You went for a window, mate. Yeah, it was going to come down like a guillotine.
Oliver, someone, he fell through the music block and severed his wrists. He survived. Mm. But he was off for, I think, weeks, maybe months. And then he came in with both his arms in casts, where he'd severed his arms up so badly, falling through a single pane, 6 foot bit of glass.
Just think, this is just occurred. I pity the younger generations, right? Because think of all the things that are staples from our things we watch films. Quicksand. Those things on wheels that cut the other person's tyres. Like daggers and the hobcaps, shooting through a glass window, someone diving a grenade. Do you know what I've noticed? Everything I try and watch on Netflix or films now have the thing where the character's walking down the street texting and the fucking text screen comes up on the screen next to
him. Oh, yeah. What a trope.
That's their thing now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
They'll be talking and they'll be like, in 2040, there'll be some couple of fucking saddos doing a podcast like this going,
What happened to
the old text messages coming up on the text stream coming up on the film? My kids wouldn't know what I'm talking about.
But yeah, we very briefly a couple of weeks ago touched on a thing that I hate so much, and we didn't really talk about it. I think obviously, like everything else, we got distracted. I hate it so much in film and TV when the person doesn't follow the instructions.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's like, we've got to get out of here right now. They're on to us. What do you mean they're on to us? They're in. They're coming up. They're in upstairs. We've got to get out through the front door and then into the street. What? Where are they? They're upstairs. And then they start to the stairs as if they're going to go up.
Do you find it exasperating?
It makes me so angry.
Well, with them? For not so what, is it the fact they're insubordinate? Or do you
I think it's the writing.
Do you find the character, like the person that is insubordinate and not sort of like compliant, irritating? Or do you find that trope that of writing?
That wrote. But
and
then,
you sort of think this is unbelievable.
Yeah, because if you were meeting me, imagine if I walked up to you and went, thanks, we've got to get out of here right now. You wouldn't go, why? What's happening? Let's go back
in.
I'll
ask him all the pertinent questions from the car park. I'll get out and then go, what the fuck are you on about, you weird?
We have to go out the back door and we have to go right now. There's no time for questions. Oh, there's no time for questions. Okay, I'm listening to what you're saying. Quick, pop that in here. Right.
Genuflect for me, baby.
We've got some questions from the listener. And please put these out if you're over on the Discord, if you're a Patreon.
Can we talk about Discord for a second?
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed a strange phenomenon.
Go on.
They'll be chatting in there and I'll say something and everyone ignores me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't mind. I'm not an egomaniac, but it is a Discord set up around a podcast that I'm in.
It's becoming a lot. It's like the
The lunatics have taken over the asylum. They no longer give a fuck what I say about anything, but they wouldn't even know each other if it weren't for us.
But I think that's the case about all of it. Like Yanis was saying the other day, you know, he set up the archives of the old episodes. He set up archives of the videos that we've put out that aren't behind the paywall, behind the Patreon paywall. And I was like, oh, that is... done that. I mean, it's brilliant that he's done it. He set up a website. I gave him some information for that the other day. It's like, that's brilliant, mate. Yeah, go for it.
Mm. I get that, and I can understand that. But like, if one of your overlords, if I come and lower myself to speak to you, fucking slags, don't ignore me. And it's like,
here's the thing, because like, I know, like we've met and spoken. To, I know I've met and spoken to.
I haven't met anyone.
But they're very polite, but there'll be that bit of banter, of course, because they know us. We talk and blah, blah, blah. You know, every week we're in their life. But Paul Gannon was saying this week that someone asked him to, like, messaged him to be on their podcast and spoke to him like he and Eli speak. So it's like, all right, Paul, you fucking knobhead. Why don't you do this? And you're not quite as good as Eli. Da, da, da. And I was like, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because...
no, that's like, fine. I don't mind that so much.
Do you not think, though, when you don't... when I was on tour with Christian, I remember people coming up and talking to him, and he would say, I don't know if I know them. And the problem was, because Christian was on their radio every morning...
yeah.
They basically think they
but
know
what
him.
I'm saying is, imagine if he was in the foyer after a show, and he went up to one of his audience and said, are you all right? And they went, sorry, I'm in the middle of talking to someone else. Like, they're there because of him, like this Discord, but they're just I am... bottom of the food chain, which I don't mind. I'm used to, actually, and I feel more comfortable there. But I find it so interesting that I must give off this vibe of...
listener, you get onto the Patreon. There's a new video and pod coming this month. There's loads on there. It's well worth it. And how exciting is this, Panks? Those new stickers are going to be coming. We've got a spooky Halloween sticker.
Good, because Halloween is my favourite thing. Hate Halloween so much. I love dressing up. I'm going as a slutty slut.
Okay, I see what you're saying. You hate it too. I don't like it, but I did think that Nathaniel has hit it out of the park again with that.
Well, he's American, and I don't understand why they like Halloween so much, because they're more religious and puritanical than us.
Well, that's why, isn't it? Because they know it's not real.
Yeah, and do you think that's why Germany has like the weirdest porn, because they're so buttoned down in everyday life?
I don't know.
Well, they don't drop litter. The trains run on time. Their country is like a futuristic, you know, utopia of clockwork.
I think pornography is called sex videos.
It'll be, but they're always like shitting. I remember like every time I saw a video and it's like shitting piss. It's like German. I was like, this is back in the day before the internet. When it wasn't vying for clicks. And I was like, oh, there's something wrong with these people. And Japan. Well, we've said this before, haven't we? The axes of evil from World War II seem to have the weirdest pornography, because maybe they feel emasculated by losing. So they have to go, they've gone kinko. I don't know.
So this message comes from Nathaniel.
Go.
Who is a brilliant artist. How much would it cost to get you to shill a product or service that you don't respect? Do you believe in such things make you a corporate whore? Or is there some moral value in getting paid based on for influence? Getting paid for influence.
I get it. But there's little peek behind the curtain. Remember when we used to do adverts for things that didn't pay us?
Oh, yeah.
The opposite, which I guess was a sort of commentary on this. Like, we were never sponsored by Black Disinfectant. As much as I wish we were.
I thought you were getting big bucks.
No. I bought some from Pound Stretch, and I just loved it.
Tell me how good it was.
I tipped a capful in my wheelie bin, which I had like a maggot infestation. It smelled fresh for like 6 months.
Do you remember when I did surreptitiously record me selling it to my girlfriend?
Yeah. It's Black Disinfectant is the shit, mate. It's made by Jay's Fluid, but it's better.
I'll get in touch with them. Actually, I'll make a note to actually.
And
get
then
in touch
we did, I think, Blue Block as well. We pretended
this
is the thing. I would rather promote a great product for no money than a bad product for money.
But if
Blue Blocks got on board, I mean, that would be the dream. And JML Dryer Buddy. Oh, the Dryer Buddy.
Can you please? So you say that, And then, like Sam mentioned, how much did that podcast pay you?
Oh, my God. That was all you, though.
Yeah, well, it wasn't all me. They contacted us and said they wanted to pay.
Yeah, no, all... no. Okay, stop. Let me stop you. They didn't contact us, did they? I got a message from you saying, look, we've got some money to advertise a podcast. Listen to it, and you've got to be nice about it.
Yeah, you can't
say that. So that's not they contacted us. You told me what to do.
Yeah, but you're part of this podcast, mate.
No, I know, but I didn't have any say in it, and it was the. Do you reckon they listen? Oh, it was.
They
there was
listen.
A little robot in it called Skidmark.
Was there?
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
I didn't listen to it.
It was so well produced that it was unlistenable.
But I think they paid about 40 quid or something. It might have been a bit more. I can't remember. But that's the answer.
But then we have taken 40 quid, but I think we'd go as low as 12 to promote something. Yeah.
Like I said, we had Sam, we've had Gray.
Yeah, that's exactly that. Yeah, that's a good point.
We've had Mark Honeybuns.
But I like having that. I do believe in the listeners.
Although, when we did the one with Sam, which I thoroughly enjoyed, to be fair to the boy, the young lad, people were like, let him talk. And I was like, no.
Yeah, no. He's the kid on the Make-A-Wish thing.
Yeah.
No, if you get a kid goes up like a kid with leukemia that goes into the cockpit, you don't let him fly the fucking plane, do you?
You don't let him land.
No, he sits on the pilot's lap and on autopilot and he pretends he's flying. You want his little voice, bing bong, ladies and gentlemen, this is Captain Nathan of the, I'm 11 and my bones hurt.
I've got Yanis has just actually messaged me as we're talking.
It's too close. What's he say?
He's talking about the archive. Do you want me to ask him a question live? Hold on, let's do this.
You're a fucking typewriter there. When you get to the end of the sentence, I'm going to hear a ding.
I write this. This can be weird for him. Justin has a question for you.
I have a question for him.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was going to ask me a question. All right.
There we go. Right, you ready?
I've got to ask him a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Hang on, what's happening? I've lost the...
You're asking Yanis a question.
Is he circumcised?
He says, tell me, I'll answer.
Is he circumcised?
No, I don't want to know the answer to that. So I'm vetoing that question. I
don't know how Germans are about that. Americans, ask him if he's circumcised.
Is it normal
is that where that World War II helmet came from?
Is it normal for Germans to be circumcised?
I don't think it is.
Oh, well, we can't just sit around and wait. I'm going to go back to the questions and I'll find out what the answer is.
Oh, God.
Right. So brace yourself for this one. This is from Tofu. Interesting. Now I've read it through properly. I was going to say just... Oh, well, no, hold on.
Hang on. He don't like me either, does he?
This is a follow-up. No one likes you.
I know.
I've got to go back to this original... in his work, this is from Mr. Frog Show. In his work jokes, form, content, use, and function, Christopher Wilson states that a dualistic theory on humor states the world is split into two sorts of components, and by combining the features of both halves, the combination makes the comedy, the good and the bad, the fat and the thin, the normal size head. And the head the size of a small moon. Further to this, another two sets of component might be the clown and the stand-up comic. Where do you place clowning in comparison to stand-up comedy?
Where do I place clowning in stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
I don't. It is a separate thing, isn't it?
I believe so. Although... I said that we'll have.
There are elements of clowning in stand-up, but there are no.
Yeah.
Clowning, the clown is the one that slips over on the banana skin, And you could say that in some of your anecdotes or the things we find amusing about ourselves, like, oh, this happened to me, I'm the butt of the
you
joke.
You threw that glove into that soup.
I threw that glove into that soup. That is me slipping over. So there can be elements of the clown in stand-up, but there are no elements of stand-up in the clown. Whereas the clown is more of a symbol. He's more of
a visual.
A scapegoat, isn't he? He's like a sort of sacrificial...
Yeah.
Shaman that sort of like trips over and his face goes in the dog shit, so yours doesn't have to.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean,
stand up can be high status. I mean, in a joke, you can be telling a low status story but have high status lines. Like a lot of stand up comedy is saying, well, this bloke said this and I said that. And a lot of that is high status winning. That's the only time you can win if it's like, if it's kind, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
a clown can't do that. A clown
no,
can't
a
win
clown
any exchange.
Cannot be high state.
Although, a clown, you know, cannot, they've got custard pie. Is that funny?
A clown can't even have parity. The only time a clown can have parity is when they put a custard pie in a punter's face.
Yeah, that's
and brings
I mean.
You down to that. Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? Clowns are fucking... I mean, I look at clowns' makeup sometimes. Often, you know, I've got like loads of, I've got a little sticker book. Yeah. I've got, you know, us stand ups, we had Panini stickers, but of clowns, didn't we?
Yeah, that's
Need got, yeah, Poirot, not Poirot, Pierrot, whatever it's called. And I look at their makeup and I'm like, is that even supposed to be like, is he meant to look diseased or something with that big red
yeah, I
shit
where that
swollen?
Comes from. I've never looked into it.
I mean, the big red nose is like a drunk thing, right? That's got to be that.
Don't know.
You know, in the old, when you were a kid, you'd get that bloke, you know, his nose was like a massive strawberry. But you don't see that anymore, do you?
I used to work with this guy who had the biggest strawberry nose I've ever seen on anyone. I just can't
believe.
Is
that booze?
Yeah, that's booze.
So is that where that big red nose thing comes from?
Because maybe. Isn't
that funny about
a red
nose? Well, I think that's what they're baiting. Like, I mean, like the village idiot or the fucking village pisshead. Is it sort of like the bloke what was always tripping over and falling over had like a big red nose? I don't know.
The village pisshead who's always throwing a glove in someone's soup.
Yeah, in New York. I mean, well-travelled. You're not a village. You can't be a village pisshead. I'm more of a sort of like, you know.
But you know, I love Tapeface. Not just because he's a friend of mine, but I'd love...
No, that's girls. Mime. That's mime's not clowning. There can be elements, but that's different.
Fair play.
Different, mate.
There's
yeah, totally different. A clown is a buffoon, but the big red nose, the massive feet. I mean, it's probably disabled element of that, isn't there?
Right. So, what does
don't disabled people have massive feet?
Do you think that's how you get into clowning? You have to have massive feet.
No, but you have to have a red nose, or you have to have the big smile, the little eyes, the ginger, big red. I'm thinking of Ronald McDonald's, the only one I can think of. The big red afro.
The next question is from San. He says, what's your favourite food? I think we might have already covered that one.
Kebab.
Yours? Beans what's on yours? Toast.
You're a fucking baby.
I love beans on toast. It's my favourite
meal. Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah. And it's not Germans are usually uncircumcised. I
what
too
is it?
Still
so
have my foreskin.
He does. See, I knew he'd answer. I knew how to get it out of him.
Sounds like a Euro pop song. I do still have my foreskin. Thank you, Yanis, for that. And now we've all got a view of Yanis's dingle dongus.
How much beak does his baby bird have? Is it a hanger?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It could get a roll of quarters down it.
What was that reference?
I don't know. Felt like it just came out of me. Oh, dear. Dear, oh, dear. I hope I never see Yanis's penis. But I feel inevitably, at some stage, I will.
Yeah.
He won't mind, will he?
Well, no, he won't. If you go with a new level of Patreon, Ash will come round and... Well, what will you do, Ash? Now, any more questions?
That's it for the questions. I want some more, though, please. Please do send us some. If you are a patron, get over there, put a question on the old Discord.
Hang on, you said Tofu asked a question about reading something, and that wasn't... And then you read
something
that out
him,
that was really long.
Him responding to the... he was responding, I think. I'm not going to read through it now, let's be honest. But
Yeah, so you gigged on Saturday. You filled in for a bigger, some like big name pulled out, didn't they? And then you...
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I mean, I turned up and everyone went, "Where's the rest of your head?" I said, "This is all I've got."
This is all I've got. I'm sorry.
They said, "Where's that gig? Where's that hot air balloon off the poster with a face drawn on it?"
I find it bizarre that I was on the poster.
Yeah, you were.
That's weird. Did you take it down so I could put it in my little scrapbook?
Yeah. I didn't. It was a gig at a pub, one of those ones where you stand in a fully lit pub.
Well, it's funny,
at this stage of the game, I'm doing them on a Saturday. What the fuck?
Yeah, because it paid so well, I imagine.
Nope.
How was it? Was it good to be back in a pub, but in a poorly lit pub?
No, too well lit, actually. No, I did all right. I mean,
I spoke to someone who was on the bill and they were telling me about children there.
Yeah, children there. Just completely ignored that.
Just leant through a window, apparently, at 10.
Yeah, not when I was. And I was watching the act before me and these kids were looking through the window. And I said to the MC, I'm going to lean over and shut the fucking window. I'm just going to shut the window. Well, while they were like a stable door with kids looking through it.
It's bizarre.
Actual kids and their parents were in there, and they weren't even in the beer garden. They were like out on a road.
It's very bizarre. Something from the 80s, isn't it? Taking your kids to the pub and leaving them in the car park. That's very old school.
Oh, sounds a bit done, mate. That sounds a bit hacky.
No, but it's true, isn't it? Like that's what they were doing there. It was past 10 at night.
I know, but I actually did that bit, and instead of going, "Oh, look." I was like, I don't just want to just do my time and go home, please.
Yeah. But that is that people don't know that that's what we do. That's the thing. People will think that stand up is stand up club or a theatre show. But sometimes you're in a fully lit
too
pub
often,
and there's children there. And do you know what? Sometimes they do pay more than the other ones.
Yeah, sometimes they do. It's right. I've done gigs where it's like you look at it on paper, you think it's a good gig. It'll be like a decent promoter. It'll be well paid. And you go there and it's like shocking. Do you know what I mean? And then some gigs you'll get, which is like a decent room with loads of people in their theatre style seat. And then they're low. I'd rather do the one that's well paid, obviously. I don't care about the fucking gig so much.
No, there is a line. You know, I definitely...
No, there is for you. There isn't for me. Yeah. We do. That is one thing we do different. We always have, haven't we?
Yeah, I just don't want to do it. That's the thing. I know that you could just turn up to a room where people are literally taking shits.
Yeah, I don't care. But you said to me once, and it made me laugh, and you said, "I just want to do cool gigs." Do you remember that?
Yeah, I stand by that.
Yeah, I still stand by that. It's one of the funniest things I've ever heard anyone say. I just want to do cool gigs. I don't know why.
I don't think I was being serious, but I am serious.
No, I know.
The sentiment I absolutely stand by.
So I would rather do a run to 8 people and get booed off and get 500 quid than do a good gig and get 150.
Yeah.
I can get 5 rounds of applause, a standing ovation, and an encore. I don't care.
No. Well,
I don't take no pleasure or
I couldn't have continued doing those Warner's Hotel gigs.
Well, they didn't want me, but I would have done them. I'd have done one every fucking week, happily.
Yeah, but do you think you would have? Because I remember speaking to you on your drive home from one where you were almost in tears.
fuck off.
You were incredulous. You were like, just unable to talk.
Yeah, but I was still doing it for the money. But yeah, it was like, as an experience, it was actually, I loved it. It's so funny. I mean, I've spoken about that more than any good.
Yes, yeah. I've spoken about it more than anything.
When I said to the bloke, "What's your name?" and he held a little thing to his throat and went, "Terry." The first bloke I spoke to had a fucking tracheotomy.
I always think about there's a few things I think about. The MC, let's say, or the blue coat going on after me and going, "Did you enjoy that?" And just an old lady going, "No, we didn't." And as I left, I walked on behind this old couple and I heard...
"Quite what I think they said."
Go on.
That wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah, that's what he said as I was walking out. I was behind some people.
Well, that wasn't what I was expecting.
That wasn't as good as I thought it would be.
It
wasn't, mate. You're quite right. I'm quite a nice guy, though. But yeah.
What does that matter?
Because I felt like I let them down.
Good. You did, because then you didn't let them down. Whoever booked you let them down.
I told them. I was like, this isn't what they want. And they were like, I don't give a fuck, mate. They're paying me thousands of pounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there you go. That's the thing. I do care. That is the difference. I don't want to do gigs that make me feel like I want to. Because also, I've got this thing of there's a possibility that I'll just have a breakdown. So I did a little bit the other day. I don't think I've told you this, actually.
Well, clearly not.
On stage the other day, when I was up the creek, this guy in the front row put his feet up on the stage. And so I had a go at him. I really had a go at him. I got a couple of laughs. But inside my head, I was like, I'm glad I got laughs there because I meant what I said. Like, it wasn't
particularly fun. What did you say?
I said, get your feet off the stage. You've not earned the right to put your feet on this stage. It took me years coming here, doing open spots before I could come and stand on this stage. I don't want you coming here.
It's weird when people do that. It's a power thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I've said it before. I have done that sort of thing before. And I was like, in my head, I was going, why are you doing this?
I remember, and I've said this, probably said this before. It definitely is a definite thing in my head. Watershed moment. Huge moment. Doing gigs and thinking, can I do it? Do I deserve to be up here? I don't think I can do it. And doing that thing where you think, oh, I'm just going to jack it in. I'm doing open spots. And I did a fucking cricket club in Esher somewhere like that, sort of like east of London towards Kent, I guess it was. And this woman kept talking. And I was trying to do my shitty little act. And I remember I lost it. And I just completely forgot I was performing, out of body experience, just sort of like totally being genuine. I just turned to her and I went, shut the fuck up, bitch. And everyone laughed. Everyone laughed. And I thought, oh God, no, I can do this. Because that when I wasn't trying to be funny, when I was just being like myself and being...
You went full blown.
I just went, no, I didn't get out. I wasn't angry. I just sort of looked there and went, shut the fuck up. What are you fucking doing? Shut the fuck up, bitch. And when I left, she was all like, see ya, yeah, bye. Like, she loved it. And I thought, oh, well, I'm onto something here. I mean, that's not even... Never mind writing jokes. If anyone see me MC, they'll just see that I've gone with that. I've picked that ball up and run with it.
Fully well.
I can't get in trouble for anything I say. It's weird. People don't take me seriously.
No, that is weird, isn't it?
Oh, honestly, I say the worst things. And the worse I get, the more they like me. And even the person I'm saying to likes it.
It must be that they don't believe you.
They think I was on stage, he can't mean it. But I do, I sort of do mean it. I meant shut the fuck up, you mouthy fucking trappy slag. That's what I meant. And everyone knew it. And it was like, oh, look, that's how he's reacting to the situation in a comedic way. It's like, no, I ain't. This bitch is getting on my nerves. She talks for everyone. that was the moment. It wasn't about anything I've ever written. It wasn't about anything. It was like, oh, if I can just drop the act and the mask and just do that and they laugh, I mean, I've got to have something. Yeah, I've got to have something. I've got to have something. I'm not trying at it anymore. Do you know what I mean? I literally forgot myself and didn't say it for any reason other than I just sort of lost it. I lost it. But not angry, just sort of like I come out and I stepped out of that sort of mindset and just said it to her. And I was like, it's the biggest laugh I think I've ever got. Because I think people could tell it was sort of real, but maybe they thought, God, he made that look real. Because he'd never actually say that. I don't know what happened.
Although, you know what? I've had that in my real life before when I've had a bit of an argument with my girlfriend or wife, whatever, and I've said it.
Or whatever.
And I've said something like really mean in the argument.
It's too mean. They can't take it. It's like
and then gone, no, that's the end of the argument. She's just gone, and we've hugged. And it's like, oh, yeah, okay, well.
Yeah, that. I just
And in my head, I was like, oh, that was lucky.
Yeah, that could have gone either way. It's like, sometimes, I think sometimes when you can't, you know, put it back in the bottle, You just have to learn to live with a genie, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's being a comedian, though, isn't it? To one extent or the other, it's like, I've said things where I've gone, oh, no, that you shouldn't have said that. That was really not funny.
But yeah, but if you don't... if you display, even on a micro level, that sentiment of, oh, God, I shouldn't have said that, you're dead.
No, you I don't mean to... on stage. I mean in real life.
No, I know. I know what you're saying. But I'm saying, I think how I got away with it on stage is I just said it.
And meant it.
But it wasn't like, oh, because I sort of didn't mean to say it, but I really meant it.
It's like when I went too hard on that woman up the creek the other night. And then I was like, I did do that. I went back because I was like, oh no. What happened was I was shit there. Like, she wasn't being a dick. I was shit.
Yeah, but is it that self analysis was paralyzed you there?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally.
So just say it and move on. And I don't know. I just said it, and it, like, I wasn't trying to be. It was the only time. I mean, I'd been doing comedy probably about nearly a year. I don't know.
I wish I could have seen it.
I'll never forget it. And it was the one time I've been on stage not trying to be funny and thought. I mean, if the room went dead, I would have come off and been like mortified, like, oh my God, that's so bad. I really lost it. And I did. Didn't lose it as in lost my temper, but I just sort of like forgot I was performing. I was just like, do you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to say something. Like, yeah. I stepped out of that sort of like hot.
You found your voice that night.
Yeah, that is when I found my voice. It's a cunt.
And on that bombshell, that's the end of this week's podcast. And I know it's slightly shorter. I'm fully aware of that. That's something I've got to do.
Hey, what's happened to the theme tune? You stopped putting that on?
I put it on this week's one, so.
Oh, nice one. Well, this one?
And last week's, yeah.
Oh, did you? I don't listen.
No, I know.
I listened to one, and it wasn't
It didn't have the theme tune on. Yeah, I realised last week that I'd forgotten to put it on the week before or whatever. Back now. It won't ever happen again. I accidentally put it out last week with just an introduction of me talking because I thought it said intro. I was like, that must be the music. I put it on. It was just me going, hello, listener. Uh-huh. Right. Listener, thank you so much for listening. Go over to Patreon. You've got a good Halloween sticker coming. Plus all of the, I've just seen what your name is on the anchor call, Justin. Thank you very much. We've got loads of good stuff over there. Hours and hours of extra content. It'd be great if you did. If you don't want to, don't, but do. And then you go on the Discord, you can have a chat. And Yanis has got so many archives, and there's a website, and there's all sorts of stuff. It's very exciting. Thanks, Justin. I'll speak to you again next week.
I'll be seeing you.